Hi there, I'm K-Town, and on this edition of Mysterious Radio.
I want to know, like, have you been able to change somebody's mind?
Yeah, that's happened a lot. The first big radio I interviewed did, I ended up doing three interviews with them. And the first one, I got 2,000 emails in one day. And I think it made our video, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, which people can see for free at Sabrell.com. It's just my last name, S as in Sam, I, B as in boy, R-E-L, Sabrell.com. And this million-dollar movie was financed by an anonymous person who builds rockets for NASA, who knows the moon missions are fake. And we outsold, I think, Gladiator had just been released, won Best Picture. And believe it or not, for one day, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, outsold that after I did that radio interview. And I got thousands and thousands of emails over the years. I, like you said, used to believe that the moon missions were real. In fact, more than real. I had a shrine literally in my home since the age of four of Apollo 11 pictures on the wall that I saw thousands of times over the years, every single day, believing it was like the greatest event of all time. And you just have to have an open mind. You know, the film opens up with this proverb. It says, pride comes before a fall. And basically, pride is the unwillingness to admit that I'm wrong. And the good thing about being wrong is, number one, I'm not walking around in error. And number two, I'm learning something new. So it's good to be wrong. I used to think that the moon missions are real. And even with $1 million from a Bill Gates IQ level millionaire who builds rockets for NASA, who knew it was fake, I still said, well, you know, maybe let me look into it. And you can see from that movie at Sabrell.com, you can really prove that the moon missions are fake with a single photograph where shadows intersect at 90 degrees when they should always be parallel in sunlight. That picture cannot be duplicated in sunlight, as they claim, which means it's electrical light, which means they're on Earth. It's that simple. You could prove the moon landings are fake in a court of law with one picture. So, as I'm producing this film, which took 7 years to produce, took 4,000 hours to edit a 45-minute film, 3.5 years into it, a source at NASA gives me this tape. I pop it in. It says on the screen, do not show to the public. And I'm thinking, oh, this should be pretty good. I hit fast forward, and instead of seeing a bunch of edits, I keep seeing the same shot for minute after minute going on an hour. And it's allegedly of this little blue ball Earth surrounded by black. And it's supposed to be the Earth floating in space as if they've got the camera to the window's glass looking back. Here's proof we're far away from the Earth. The thing is dated by an atomic clock timestamp 2 days after they went to the moon. All the astronauts are available on camera. The lights come up, and it's a 1-foot model of the Earth. They're faking being halfway to the moon. And there's a third track of audio of the CIA telling him to fake a 4-second radio delay to make it appear like they're further away. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, they really did fake the moon landing. And believe it or not, K-Town, 4 out of 5 people who watch A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, who previously thought the moon missions are real, changed their mind after 45 minutes for me, largely because of this classified footage. I mean, I watch people watch the movie in big auditoriums. And when that part comes up, people gasp. There's a gasp throughout the movie theater when people see, like I did, them faking being halfway to the moon with a 1-foot model, proving they cannot go halfway, which means they did not go. And what a surprise. Here we are 50 years later, and they still cannot leave Earth orbit. That's why there's mannequins orbiting the Artemis mission. Isn't that odd? 50 years ago, they can leisurely drive cars and play golf on the moon. And with five decades of better technology, they can't even land. They can't even orbit with humans. There's mannequins doing it. So here's the second proof. What they're claiming is that 50 years ago, with 1/1,000,000th the computing power of a cell phone, they were able to send astronauts 1,000 times farther into space than they can send them today with five decades better technology, which means they're actually claiming that they had 1,000 times greater space traveling technology in 1969 than they do today, where they can only send humans 250 miles into space. So that means there was greater technology in the past than in the future, but that's a scientific and historic impossibility. So that proves it. We have the shadows intersecting at 90 degrees, which can never happen in sunlight. That proves it. We have the classified footage. That proves it. We have the logic.
How do they mimic the gravitational effect? I mean, how do we even know what the gravitational effect would be on the moon if we've never been there? But what do you think about that? I mean,
yeah, that's one of the most amazing things in the movie for me. Go to Sibrel.com, click on the top left button, Moonman video links. I think even a funny thing happened is on the homepage. You can click on it right on the homepage. And a little bit more than halfway through, you'll see the TV image that everyone saw of the astronauts kind of floating around. The moon theoretically has about 1/4 the size and mass of the Earth. So they estimated the gravity to be, you know, approximately 1/6 because it doesn't have a magnetic core. It actually has less mass, even though it's 1/4 the size. So they estimated 1/6 gravity and they're floating around or whatever. Well, I'm a professional filmmaker. I have tens of thousands of dollars worth of, you know, professional equipment. I just hit double the speed and you realize it's slow motion. They're only, if you look at their feet, they're only getting off the ground an inch, the same as on Earth. And when you double the speed, that's the real speed. And you realize, I mean, it's very convincing slow motion, but that's all that it is. And you can prove it by doubling the speed and you see that's the real motion. They're on Earth. They're not getting, you know, about 1 inch when they should be leaping.
Aren't they so ready to speed it up to see what it would really look like if they were here on Earth?
I know. And it's so obvious they're on Earth and yet it's so convincing when you don't do that. It's like the window shot footage. I have an hour of them trying to get the best 10 seconds out of a special effect with a 1-foot model of the Earth. Had I only seen K-Town, the best 10 seconds, I think it looks fantastic. I think it looks very convincing. I would have been fooled, and I was fooled most of my life. But I have the unedited version where the lights come up and you see it's a 1-foot model and you hear the CIA crystal clear instructing them to fake a 4-second radio delay. Basically, they're only in Earth orbit, 250 miles up. So if NASA says hello and they say hello back immediately, gives away the fact that they're really close. So the CIA was in a secret earpiece. They would count off 4 seconds first after NASA asked a question, 1, 2, 3, 4, then talk. And you hear them crystal clear, prompting the astronauts after a fake 4-second radio delay. And it's like, oh my gosh, they really did fake the moon landing. So that's the third proof. And then the fourth proof, which is in my book that just came out, which you can only get at Sibrel.com. It's audio. I read it myself or Kindle or print. There's tons of information that was not in the film. One of them, we had facts, lots of facts. We had millionaire backing us. I bought documents from widows of astronauts from the Apollo mission from their estate for $10,000 each. Okay. I interviewed the widows and children of Apollo astronauts who, according to them, not me, were murdered by the CIA for not cooperating with the fraud. That's their opinion, not mine.
You're saying there was people murdered around the.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't put it in the film at their request because they wanted that information released after they died and after they pursued their own legal course of action. Basically, Neil Armstrong was not the first choice to be the first man to walk on the moon. The guy who they had actually picked was Virgil Grissom. And in 1967, he was so frustrated that none of the equipment was working, they couldn't even talk between two buildings on a wired intercom. In fact, there's a few seconds, and a funny thing happened on the way to the moon, which you can see for free at Sobral.com, and it's like a practice rehearsal on the ground of picking up a moon rock with a stick, you know, with a pole, with the astronauts in a fake, you know, spacesuit. This is 6 weeks before they go to the moon. They pick up the rock, and the bag falls off at the end of the stick. They can't get a stick with the bag on the end of it to work without breaking. So how can they get rockets and, you know, computers and oxygen and all that to work? So he was so frustrated that nothing was working because the higher-ups knew they were not going, and they had not told the astronauts yet about faking it. So days before the guy was murdered, he's so furious at NASA for not fixing anything, he holds a press conference without permission, and he invites a group of photographers and reporters up the elevator, 33, you know, flights up to the top of the rocket, where, according to his wife, who I interviewed for 4 hours that morning, he's a bit of a gardener. He had an orange tree, you know, apple tree, and a lemon tree in his backyard. He picked a lemon for this purpose. It was huge. She said it was the size of a grapefruit. And he took a coat hanger, he invited the reporters up, and he hung a lemon on the top of the rocket, calling the thing a piece of junk in front of the world. He was also preparing reports to give to Congress and his senator, saying there's something wrong going on here. There's no way we're going to get to the moon in 2 years. It's going to take 10 or more. What's going on?
Question right there.
Yes.
I think that they were in a hurry to get there. So they cut corners. They knew they couldn't do it. And so they just faked it. Is that
That's right. Because Kennedy's not a scientist. He's a politician, a visionary. They went from never having anyone in space to walking on another world in 8.5 years. You realize NASA has never kept a schedule, not once in their entire existence, except the most complicated one of all time. They were ahead of schedule. 20 years after Apollo, with 20 years better technology, just to put a telescope into Earth orbit, 1,000th the distance to the moon, they were 10 years behind schedule. You see that? So how can you develop walking on the moon, living on the moon with 20 years older technology and be ahead of schedule when 20 years later, you're 10 years behind schedule, just going 1,000th the distance? You see? And so Kennedy misspoke. He said, we're going to go to the moon by the end of the decade. It couldn't be done. So like a good poker player who had crap, they bluffed. Okay, so his wife told me the following. Gus Grissom, first man to be on the moon, because all the reporters loved him. He said he came home from work on January 26, 1967, and told his wife the following. Hon, for some strange reason, after he did that press conference that pissed off everybody, he said, for some strange reason today, the CIA is all over the launch pad. They've never been here before. Why are they here today? Very next day, the guy is dead. Okay. He was murdered by the CIA. Not my opinion, the opinion of his wife, who I interviewed for 4 hours, and the opinion of his son, who I interviewed for 3 hours, who's a 747 pilot. He's not an idiot. So these are murders. These are talked about in my book, Moon Man, the true story of a filmmaker on the CIA hit list, which is available at Sobral.com. I read it in audio, Kindle or print. Now the big news, the big scoop. So we have the three proofs. First, you can't have 1,000 times greater technology in the past and in the future. You can't have shadows of the sun, in quotes, you know, intersecting at 90 degrees from one another. One shadow can't go at 12 o'clock and another at 9 o'clock if it's sunlight. They're always parallel in sunlight. They're intersecting, which means an electrical light. That proves it. We have the classified footage of fake photography that 80% of the people who see it reverse their opinion. And guess what? We got more. In my book, Moon Man, at Sobral.com, for the first time ever, we release the deathbed confession of Cyrus Eugene Akers. The most secretive Air Force base in the world is not Area 51.
What is
they're special ops. Every military branch, the Army, the Marines, the Air Force, the Navy, they have their special ops intelligence division. That's the most secretive base. That base is Cannon Air Force Base in Clovis, New Mexico. Cyrus Eugene Akers was the chief of security at the Air Force's most secretive base. He said, K-Town, as he's dying, as he wants to get right with God, he says, first of all, he's a murderer. He says he murdered somebody. He murdered a coworker because he and a coworker saw a military secret. He thought what the government was doing was morally wrong. He was going to tell a reporter to tell the world. And so to cover up this military secret, he murdered him. And then secondly, he said the secret that he committed homicide for was the moon landing fraud, which was filmed June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of 1968 at Cannon Air Force Base in Clovis, New Mexico. He stood beside President Johnson on June 1st, who couldn't help but come by to take a look at it. And President Johnson gave the chief of security, my source, a list of 15 names, and only these people were allowed in to eyewitness it. I published those names in the book. Some of these people are still alive. My source, even his son, okay, his son is the one who I confirmed all this information. I want to make sure I get this right. Cannon Air Force Base, these dates and so forth. After he told me, confirmed this information, his son, less than 2 years ago, government agent showed up at his house and threatened to kill him and his family if he ever spoke to me again. You see this? The reason why my book is called Moon Man, the true story of a filmmaker on the CIA hit list, is because after I found this classified footage in part two of my film called Astronauts Gone Wild, I tracked down some Apollo astronauts, put a TV monitor beside them in their living room, and showed them the fake footage of the fake moon landing. One of them got so angry, he physically assaulted me in his house on camera. In the commotion, we left a wireless microphone on him. And in the commotion, my camera guy forgot to hit stop recording. So while the camera is in the back seat of the rental car in the guy's driveway, ready to go, the wireless microphone is recording his private conversations in his house with the door closed. Where we find out months later, when a transcript is done, he's talking about calling the CIA to have me killed, crystal clear, on tape, which would not be necessary if they really went to the moon. Now, would it? So all of this is at Sabrell.com. It's so sad. So we have an 80% reversal of opinion from the film, and we have a 90% reversal if you read the book. The book has 16 video clips in it. And so it's basically, I write a chapter, then I say, go to Sabrell.com, click on Moon Man video links, watch link one, another chapter, link two. We have all of this backed up, including an interview with a NASA employee who says the technology necessary to go to the moon and back has yet to be invented. There you go. What can you do?
Yeah, what can you do? I wanted to ask you too, the LRV, how did they get that up there? How did they get that lunar roving vehicle on the moon?
Well, the one of the reasons they can't go to the moon, first of all, they don't have a rocket anywhere near big enough. We found publications from von Braun. You may know him as the rocket designer, right? In World War II, he was able to send a rocket from Paris to London. That's pretty good. And so decades later, in the 60s, he was the guy they chose to build the rocket to go to the moon. We found his original publications. He says it is commonly believed that you can go to the moon and back in one rocket. He says it's not true. He said the following numbers are mathematically irrefutable. He says it will take three rockets. Each one will have to weigh 800,000 tons. The Saturn V only weighed 2,500 tons, not 800,000 tons. A tiny difference of 30,000%. So they don't have enough fuel. Secondly, it's radiation. Most people don't know this, but starting 1,000 miles above the surface of the Earth and extending 30,000 miles is a huge field of deadly radiation that protects the Earth from deadly solar and galactic radiation, but it also has been collecting it for thousands or however many years you believe the Earth is. So to go to the moon and back, you'd have to go through it once to the moon and through it again coming back. Every manned mission except going to the moon has been 750 miles below the beginning of the radiation. You'd have to go through it. So you can X-ray a toaster 1,000 times and it'll still make toast, but you can't X-ray a human being 1,000 times and expect them to live. So then you need all the radiation protection, the oxygen, the fuel. So a probe needs like 1% of the thrust to leave Earth orbit than a human being does. So you can send probes to Mars, to the moon, to Jupiter, wherever, but you cannot send a human because they need 100 times the weight for the oxygen, food, water, radiation protection. For example, the only radiation protection the Apollo mission had was 1/8 of an inch of aluminum. Now, when you take a dental X-ray, which lasts 1/24 of a second, you have 1/4 inch of lead, which is much better than 1/8 inch of aluminum. You have more protection from a 1/30 of a second or 1/24 of a second dental X-ray than you do going to the moon with the equipment. This is why they destroyed all the hardware, all the blueprints, all the electronic diagrams from the equipment they built to go to the moon. Now, isn't that interesting? I mean, if they were going to destroy a technology ever in the history of the world, maybe they should have done that with the atomic bomb after they used it to win World War II. But did they do that? No. Just 10 years later, after the first atomic bomb was blown up, atomic bombs were 1,000 times more powerful. So if they could go to the moon in 1969 with 1/1,000,000th the computing power of a cell phone, ahead of schedule on the first attempt, we would have been on Mars 10 years later. We'd be in another solar system by now, and there'd be bases all over the moon. The idea that we have to return to the moon for the 7th time to practice before we go to Mars makes no sense at all. I mean, that's like on Earth, we've been to the North Pole 6 times, but we've never been to the South Pole. We went to the South Pole 50 years ago, and we're going to go again. You know, it's like, it doesn't make sense that you would have to keep practicing something to go to Mars if you've already done it 6 times. The reason why they're, quote, returning is because they never went in the first place. And of course, they keep postponing it. They said, I think, 10 times since 1969 that they would return to the moon in 5 years. President Ford said it. President Carter said it. President Reagan said it. George Bush Jr. said it. George Bush Sr. said it. Clinton said it. Obama said it. And Trump said it. And they've never kept the schedule. But for some reason, they were able to keep a schedule when NASA had 1/1,000,000th the computing power of a cell phone. Think about this. Elon Musk wanted to land a rocket vertically so he could reuse the rocket. Keep in mind, he has 6 computers surrounding that rocket to get it to gimbal to land vertically. Each computer is like 100 million times greater than what they had at the Apollo mission. So he has 600 million times greater computing power than the lunar lander did. But 50 years later, the first time he tries to land a rocket vertically, it blows up. The second time, it blows up. The third time, it blows up. The fourth time, it blows up. Okay, he got it the 5th time. So how is it with 1/600,000,000th of 1% of the computing power, we landed a rocket vertically 6 times in a row in the 1960s? Isn't that interesting?
They're saying, Bart, though, that they went 6 other times after Apollo 11, 5 of those.
Yeah, it's called a cash cow because the mission that has more intersecting shadows, meaning more photographic proof that it's in a TV studio, is Apollo 17, the alleged last mission to the moon. They all were during the corrupt Nixon administration, and, you know, they didn't go. I mean, once people accepted the fact that they could go, it was actually easier to fool them all the times after they had accepted it the first time. It's a big cash cow. It only takes about one quarter of the budget that they allegedly used to orbit the Earth, which is as far as they went. We're talking about, in today's dollars, $200 billion. And they're only using about a quarter of that, which means the corrupt government had an extra $150 billion to play with. CNN was sold for $7 billion, half the price of an aircraft carrier. This is why the media is controlled by the CIA. A document found by Woodward and Bernstein, who broke Watergate in 1974, found a CIA document from 1974 that said the CIA had 400 journalists on the payroll. And this is back when you can only own one radio or TV station. Now you can own an unlimited amount. And they said they were at all of the major newspapers, networks, and wire services, everything, Time, Life, Newsweek, ABC, CBS, NBC, Reuters, Associated Press. They're completely covered. The CIA runs the media. That's just the way that it is. Central Intelligence Information Agency. One of the clips at Sobral.com is this news story, and I cut from one to the other. You see in the lower right-hand corner, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, and all the reporters from all the networks are saying the same story, word for word, exactly. So it's being controlled from the top. Keep in mind, every TV station, every newspaper said men are on the moon when they are actually in New Mexico. So just because every TV and news station says there's an illness floating around doesn't mean it's true, does it? Because I called up my friends at NBC News, where I used to work for 2 years. I said, you just reported that this single hospital had 450 people infected with this new, you know, boogie illness. And I said, that's a heck of a news story. Is there, you know, like tape around the outside? I mean, 450 employees infected in one building? You think they would have the thing quarantined with the big tent over the top? No, people are going in and out, in and out. I said, well, I mean, did you stand outside with a reporter with a microphone, grab one of the employees and say, hey, what does it feel like to have this illness? I said, no, we just repeat the numbers that the government tells us.
That is a good point. Let me ask you something. Okay, so I think you missed what I said before, because this is going to lead into my other question. About the LRV, which is that dune buggy that they were just driving around everywhere, just having fun like they were out in the desert somewhere. Like you would see someone, you know, take out in the desert.
Oh, I thought LRV means, I thought that meant the probes that they've orbited the moon. I think you're talking about the moon rover. Yeah. Just a cash cow. In today's dollars, I think the thing cost $100 million and has probably 1/10 as many parts as a Jeep. Yeah, just
that stuff up there.
Allegedly, yeah.
How come we can't see it? How come nobody's ever took a photo of it sitting there?
Allegedly, according to NASA, there is no Earth-based telescope powerful enough to resolve any images on the moon. Some people say, well, the moon landings must be real because there's these pictures from NASA, who faked the moon missions, of an alleged satellite orbiting the moon, and it shows a little shadow, a little black mark of about 1/8 of an inch on a photograph that's allegedly the shadow of the lunar module. And I'm like, okay, so NASA already faked a full body picture in color, high resolution, of a guy standing, quote, on the moon. That was really at Cannon Air Force Base. And you're using those people as proof that this 1/8 of an inch shadow that they claim is the lunar module from a moon orbiting satellite is proof that their first photograph was real, that we know was taken in a studio at Cannon Air Force Base? I mean, it boggles the mind that people still defend it. I talked to a college professor, K-Town, and I said, you know, what if you saw Buzz Aldrin confess on national TV tearfully that the moon missions are fake? He's sorry. The professor said he would still think he walked on the moon anyway. It's a god to people, right? How ironic that mankind's greatest accomplishment is a complete lie. And so when I was first asked to do this project years ago, I turned it down. I said, look, there's a lot of things that make me wonder, and I don't want to get involved with this. It could be dangerous. I changed my mind because I realized if they faked the country that's allegedly the savior of mankind, the United States of America, faked mankind's greatest accomplishment, embezzled $200 billion, murdered multiple people to keep it a secret, printed it on coins, put it in the encyclopedia, held ticker tape parades for them, and gave them medals of honor for being such good liars. If that's true, that's more profound of an event historically than if they had actually gone. Do you see that? The faking of the moon landing is so much more profound than if they had actually gone. And it's absolutely true that they faked it, which means this great truth mankind needs to learn from, they're being prohibited from learning, from growing, to moving on to the next realm of enlightenment, because we're stuck here under the thumb of these corrupt world leaders who lie continually. And that's why the truth has to come out. Orwell said, whoever controls the past controls the future. And this is the perfect example of that. They're saying, in the past, the moon missions were real, when they certainly were not. And those same criminals are controlling our future.
That is, you're exactly right. He did say that. And I want to throw this at you, because I just completed this interview like some months ago, and I just released one of those. And it was with a scientist. His name is John David Oakes. Have you heard about his research with Rudarsky?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh. He is a scientist, and he actually studying a phenomena that happens in everyday speech, and it's what our unconscious mind will throw off and say things in forward speech. So, in other words, if like you and I are talking right now, if somebody reversed that, listened to our speech in reverse, you would find hidden messages. And he says these come out, they're coming from our subconscious mind. And so he says that he's looked at different types of events, you know, all kinds of serial killers and their lies and stuff, where they will say that, I don't know what happened to the body or whatever. And he'll reverse the speech and they'll say something like, I dismembered them or whatever. Horrible thing. It's normally the truth, right? He says that it cannot lie, because these things that are being said in our reverse speech are coming from our subconscious. Okay. Even though your conscious mind is saying something, saying a lie, you will be telling the truth in your subconscious mind. Well, he looked at the moon landings, and he's got hundreds of reversals.
Along those lines, someone did a body language study, and also studying the way that someone says something, that their sentence structure, like when a person lies, they use these type of verbs and adjectives and so forth, and this type of body language. And they found an interview that Neil Armstrong did right after the moon landing fraud to the BBC. And they also looked at one that Buzz Aldrin did that I conducted, an interview that you can see for free at Sabrell.com in the film Astronauts Gone Wild. And this professional psychological body language word structure person who's hired by corporations to decide whether someone's telling the truth or not says 100% certainty, crystal clear, both astronauts are lying on both occasions. So
they went. He says. Yeah. He reversed their speech, like he would hear them say, they're talking about aliens. I see an alien or something. I mean, you got to hear it. This is their speech ran in reverse, and he's got hundreds of them. And he's saying, John Oakes is saying, he's a scientist. He studies this. He said he didn't believe it at first, but when he ran hundreds of moments of their forward speech in reverse, he got time and time again where they were actually on the moon. And not only were they on the moon, they actually came in contact with some type of alien entities or some type of stuff. You got to hear that.
Wrote an article at Sabrell.com. You go there, scroll down about halfway, about aliens and whether or not they're really aliens or whether they're demonic entities. And so if these people are, homicidal maniacs, then I say they're possessed, right? And under those particular conditions, maybe these demons are motivating them what to say, how to say it, and are being clever that they can also mean things backwards. That sounds like a possibility.
That is a possibility. Wow. I've never heard you say that before. I think that's possible. You know, I mean, truly possible. You know what? I'm just going to be honest with you. I thought that too. I thought maybe they were in it. This was all manipulated by some type of demonic presence or something. I'm serious.
That's what the top two, I talk about this in the article, Are There Aliens, which is at Sabrell.com. The top two researchers, they were researching UFOs for 40 years each, one French, one American, independent of one another. They came to the following conclusion. Number one, UFOs are real. Number two, they're not from outer space. They're from Earth. And number three, they're demonic. And they're masquerading. They're masquerading as aliens because that's a great disguise. And of course, they lie, right? Just like corrupt politicians, they lie all the time. Demons lie. They're telling people in the military.
Who are the researchers?
Go to Sabrell.com, scroll down. They're the top two, if you're in the UFO community, the top two most famous UFO researchers. I mentioned them by name in the article. The names don't come to me right now, but they're very recognized. The article has multiple links in it, including one of a scientist who says, look, we've been pointing radio telescopes in every direction of the universe for 50 years, not one radio broadcast. We're it. You see, the government really wants us to believe in aliens, and that's a really good reason not to. Keep in mind, Edgar Mitchell, and it was him and his son talking about killing me through the CIA. He spent his whole life saying the moon landings are real and his whole life saying aliens are real. One of the people who was there at Cannon Air Force Base on that list of 15 eyewitnesses given to Cyrus Eugene Akers by President Johnson, which I published in my book, one of them I never heard of, a gentleman by the name of Robert Emmenager. He's this science fiction writer associated with the military. And he spent his whole life saying the moon landings are real when he was there watching the faking of it. And he spent his whole life saying UFOs and aliens are real. You see, they really want us to believe in them for some reason. I believe there's a coming deception that they're going to, you know, claim aliens are doing this or aliens are doing that, when just like you and I, and just like the two top UFO researchers concluded, they're actually demonic. Anyone who murders people is possessed. Anyone who rapes children is possessed. I have compassion on everybody. I would forgive everybody. People don't know what they're doing if they're possessed. Do you remember that woman who 20 years ago pushed her car down the ramp with her children inside? You remember that one?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing about that stands out to me. Before the trial even began, they debated in court 5 days a week for a month whether she was sane or insane. Because if she's insane, they can't execute her. And they really wanted to execute this, you know, terrible woman who murdered her own children, right? And after 4 weeks of debating whether she was crazy or not, they said she's not crazy, so we can execute her. Come on, you can judge a tree by its fruit. Any woman who's a mother who would load up her children into a car and push them down a boat ramp to drown them is crazy. You can tell because only a crazy person would do such a thing. You see how twisted our world is? They're calling crazy people sane. That must mean the same people are crazy. I mean, those are the same people running our world, right? Messing with everybody, lying to everybody, not being held accountable. And so be it. They will gain the world and lose their soul, right? It's too bad for them.
What do you think aliens are? Are you agreeing with the researchers?
Well, I think they're fallen angels. I mean, fallen angels have been around for thousands of years. Imagine that they really did walk on the moon 50 years ago. Imagine what technology we would have 6,000 years later. So imagine fallen angels were around at the time of Noah, that they saved the giants, because it said the giants existed before the flood and after the flood. Somehow, something protected them. Giants, it says, according to the Bible, were born as a deformity of fallen angels intermarrying with humans. It says so word for word in the Bible. People say it means something else. I don't think it does. That's what happened. The people who run the world, according to this beautiful young woman who did an extensive report, believe it or not, in high school, super intelligent woman, she concluded from going through 500,000 genealogical names associated with presidents of the United States that all the presidents, except for one, are of the same bloodline. It says in the Bible that God would put war between the seed of the future offspring of Adam and the seed of the future offspring of the fallen angels. You see, they're liars, right? Satan's a liar. They may tell Eisenhower, hey, we're from, you know, Reticula, whatever galaxy. That can't be proven or disproven. They're not going to tell them who they really are. What better place to hide your 6,000-year-old technology than in a craft that can go under the ocean, fly in the air, and fly into outer space? That's the perfect place. You have 70% of the Earth is water to hide in. You see, so the top UFO researchers said UFOs are real, but they're not from outer space. You see, they're from Earth. They're fallen angels, and fallen angels are using the disguise of aliens from outer space because they have this technology that flies, you know, in air and outer space, and it can't be proven or disproven whether they're from this galaxy. But a scientist who pointed a radio telescope in all directions for 50 years says not a single radio wave, we're it. And according to a book called The Privileged Planet, written by a team of scientists, life should not even be on Earth. It's not abundant. It's rare. We may be it. And they want us to believe the opposite. Isn't that interesting? You see, and in fact, there was this great TV show. I mean, not really great. Great as in Hitler was great in that he was, you know, infamous. I thought it was a one-time show called Ancient Aliens, right? Apparently, it's like a three-year-long series. So they did a DNA study about 20 years ago. They took blood samples from everybody, from Europeans, from Africans, from Swedes, from Spanish, from Asians, and they were able to trace mankind's genealogy backwards through time. And they concluded 20 years ago, all humans came from one woman. Every person who's alive, ever was, or ever will be, has a single woman as her ancestor. They called her Eve. No one before her, no evolution. She just suddenly appeared. So how can evolutionists explain that? Because it lines up with the historical account in the ancient scriptures. Well, they said, okay, that's true, but we were made by aliens and not God. Now, here's the thing. It says in Ezekiel and Isaiah that Lucifer wanted to take the place of God. They're saying we were made by aliens, and if aliens are really fallen angels, they're really saying we were made by Lucifer instead of God. Isn't that interesting? And so I would ask as a third grader, okay, if we were made by aliens, then who made the aliens? You know, they never answer that question in 3.5 years of program. So I think they're demons. They're fallen angels masquerading because they're deceivers, right? We're being deceived. They're possessing people. Maybe a fallen angel and a demon are two different things. I mean, if Nephilim, the people who rule the world, that's what Nimrod was. He was a giant, according to the Bible. And if they're protecting their bloodline, it says there will be war between two bloodlines, the fallen angel bloodline and the one from the original creation, you see, and these people control the world, right? So fallen angels and demons may be different. If you take an angel and you intermarry with a human and get a Nephilim, what happens to their spirit when they die? According to ancient texts, when someone dies, they're temporarily asleep until, you know, we have a new world, new earth. But if a creature, a Nephilim, is half fallen angel and half mortal, maybe when they die, their spirit roams the earth. Maybe that's where the demons came from that Jesus cast out of people. He said one person had thousands of demons in one person. Maybe that's the Nephilim spirit. Maybe this is the things that are causing people to kill their children and to kill other people and to eat them or whatever the crazy things that people do in the world. You know, God gave us free will, but you know, you can't harm another human being, right? That's where you cross the line, and you can't harm children. There are clear distinctions of what you should and should not do with your free will, right? And those destructive things have to be demonic, right? Where do they come from? Why do people do 9/11? Why do people fake the moon landing? Why do people do this little thing we've been going on for the last 3 years? If God said, be fruitful and multiply, why do the world leaders want to do the exact opposite? You see, they want to get rid of people. They want to lower the population by 94%. Well, that's a lot. If you had a room of 34 people, 94% is getting rid of 32 of them. You know, I got word just to let you know, K-Town, it's me and you. So we lucked out. We're those two people, but I was close. Yeah, all of my projects and all of the updates that I do, they're at Sibrell.com. It's my last name, S as in Sam, I, B as in boy, R-E-L, Sibrell.com. You can watch all my films for free. If you want to buy the book that goes into the deathbed confession, new information about an eyewitness to the moon landing fraud, we also mention in the book the official CIA code name, and we publish the list of these 15 people who were there at the time, some known CIA NSA people. All of that is available at Sibrell.com. And I also have a new podcast, subscriber-based, where I do a summary of the week's news. And that's just below the picture of the book. It says, you know, Bart's podcast. And you can join there. And that link and every link is at Sibrell.com.
That's very cool, man. I really love talking to you. This is great because you said a lot of things I hadn't heard you say before on especially my podcast. But yeah, you're looking at different aspects of the phenomena, and I agree with you on a lot of it. I really do. I want to also invite you to please, you know, touch base with me anytime you want to come back on. You and I can chit chat about some other things that are happening in the world. I will certainly let my listeners know, like, if there's any place. Do you speak at events? I don't think I asked you that. Are you touring or conferences or anything?
Occasionally I do. I am asked. I did lecture at a university recently. I also gave two lectures recently about this little thing the world has been going on for the last 3 years about the truth behind that, basically showing numerous clips from the people who would know, you know, former vice presidents of certain companies that build certain medicine that everyone's taking, the inventor of the medicine, the inventor of certain testing equipment for certain illnesses. I've lectured about that. And, you know, the shocking thing about all that is these aren't my opinions. I show you these are the opinions of the people involved. I mean, if a former vice president of a certain company who's selling this, you know, medicine for illnesses that people don't even have, if he says what's going on is deceptive, if he says the medicine isn't good for you, you know what I mean? That's his opinion, not mine. I mean, if Bobby Kennedy Jr. says his uncle was killed by the CIA, I believe him. And if Gus Grissom, the man who first was to be walking on the moon, if his widow says he was murdered by the CIA, I believe him. And if Cyrus Eugene Akers tells me that he eyewitnessed the moon landing fraud and killed somebody to cover it up, I believe him. So when I lecture, it's really not my opinion. I have slides and videos, and I just show you, look, these are the experts. They're telling you what's going on, and this is why there's so much censorship going on. They've taken down, you would think, the inventor of the medicine that everyone in the world is taking. He would be the number one guest. He would be like Fauci. He'd be on every talk show in the world. He hasn't been on a single one, and the ones he's on, they take down from the internet. He's the guy who invented the medicine that everyone's taking. You would think they would want to know, right?
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And because he says, don't take it. It's not good for you. I invented it. I should know, you know, you know,
I saw that man about fell out of my chair and I was like, wow, this is crazy. They censoring his stuff. You know, my God, this is just, it's nuts. The people really just need to pay attention and use their common sense is really all I can say. And,
yeah. I mean, if you go to Sibrell.com at the very bottom, there's a link, I think, for I think it's my Odyssey channel. And I did like a 2-hour summary of 3 years of research. I'm going to see if I can move that maybe back to like the first recording that you click on. But if you go through the videos, maybe 10 back, it says big, a certain name of a certain illness summary. And I did, you know, hundreds of hours of research to make this 2-hour video, collecting things over 3 years. It's all in one video. It's all backed up. It's not my opinion. Here's the opinion of the experts. Here's what's been reported from eyewitnesses. There it is. And it just boggles the mind that we're in this state, that the world is so demonically possessed by so many leaders who are running the show. What can you do? You know, and the moon landing fraud is just the epitome of their arrogance to deceive the people under their care, and they're murdering their own people. You being in the army, you should know you took a pledge to uphold the Constitution. And before the Constitution was the Declaration of Independence that said when any government becomes destructive of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. Well, we have eyewitness accounts that the government is killing their own people. They killed Martin Luther. They killed John F. Kennedy. They killed these Apollo astronauts. Okay, so they're destructive of life. They're destructive of liberty. I have to ask permission to open my business, permission to go shopping, you know, permission to travel. That's slavery, not freedom. So they're destructive of liberty. And if the pursuit of my happiness is opening my business or traveling, they're stifling that too. So the big one is life. When the government uses our tax dollars, not only to fake the moon landing, but they hire CIA agents with our tax money to kill people who are going to expose their crimes, the government is out of control. I mean, they have to be stopped. I mean, this is wrong. Does anybody care? You know, so God help Bobby Kennedy, Robert Kennedy Jr., who's running for president, because I believe they already poisoned him once. Whenever a high official gets a rare illness, it's probably poisoning if they're critical of the government. He can barely talk sometimes. I think they poisoned him. Now he's running for president. God help him, because I don't think they want him to be president. So, you know, they already killed 3 Kennedys so far, right? So I don't think they're going to have a problem doing another one. God help him. And, you know, maybe good can happen, but I don't think it will. People are spending 100 hours a month watching television. That's 2.5 work weeks, right? 40 hours a week you're spending. And then on FaceTime and YouTube, and there's no energy, or everyone's hypnotized. Go to a restaurant, K-Town. You've seen this. Go to any restaurant. Walk through the restaurant. 90% of the people are not talking to each other across the table. They have their faces in their phones. How can we possibly make a difference in the world when we can't even talk to one another at a restaurant, when we're sitting across from the person we drove to have fellowship with?
This is interesting, man. I really love talking to you. His book is called Moon Man, The True Story of a Filmmaker on the CIA Hit List, and that is available everywhere. Bart Sabrell, my special guest. Bart, many blessings to you.
Yeah, thank you. Just go to Sabrell.com, and there are the links for the book.
To find out more about our guest and all others, please visit our website at MysteriousRadio.com. And I want to give special thanks to our co-creator and executive producer, Kim Kyle, who brought this show to you today. And working hard behind the scenes, our team of 4, I want to thank them as well. Follow us on social media and share the show with others that may like the subjects that we cover. I am your host, K-Town, and you're listening to Mysterious Radio.